Welcome to the Self-Care Society podcast with your hosts, Celia Williamson, Ashley Kuchar, Louis Guardiola, and Carrie Shaw, a podcast devoted to those whose job it is to help others get or remain mentally, physically, and emotionally healthy, but who also need to take care of themselves.
How we're going to do this? By first showing you the filtered, pretty version of success, and then the real struggles, real work, and raw grit it took to get there, how they took care of themselves and also achieved their goals while doing it.
Together, we will work with you to improve and maintain your internal health and growth while helping you achieve your external goals and your next professional achievement in life.
And we're excited to show you how to follow your own individual and unique path and achieve the dreams you have while taking good care of yourself. So let's get started. Welcome to Self-Care Society Podcast. I'm Carrie Shaw, and today with me, we have Andy Yates. Andy's foundational belief is that people are not broken, but rather that they are in need of support and healing. Andy is a systems-oriented therapist who works with the whole person to develop a personalized approach to treatment. Her current specializations include relationship issues, general functioning, trauma, disordered eating, neurodivergence, gender and identity expression, and working with the LGBT plus community. Andy's clients appreciate her tailored approach and resources, as well as a range of options for treatment, including horticultural therapy. She works with individuals ages 6 and up, couples, and families to foster positive relationships to the self and to others. Andy is an independently licensed marriage and family therapist with a master's in marriage and family therapy, and works with clients in both Ohio and Indiana. Andy offers services full-time from the Clintonville location and through teletherapy. Welcome, Andy, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it's a rainy day outside. Hopefully we can jazz things up a little bit with this conversation about self-care and who you are. My first question is, as always, who is the real Andy? What is the public perception of who you are?
Yeah, so it's interesting because the headshot that I use professionally, it's taken from a different angle, so I don't think it looks like me to begin with, but it's like very clean and very polished. And I'm a marriage and family therapist, which is a little different. I think there's not a ton of MFTs out there. And I work with families and I work with couples, and I am like this professional woman of the world who also does plant stuff. And so I feel like, you know, with the outward facing persona, there's a lot of polish, and especially just being somebody who has a master's degree, there's an expectation there of, like, I don't know, maybe wisdom or worldly knowledge. Even just like, if I think about even just like the pictures that are presented, like very clean cut, very like organized and structured and all those things that go with those ideas.
Right. So that's people's expectation maybe when they are going to meet you. And how does that play out, do you think?
Well, I have clients who have like seen me on our website in particular, or have seen my headshot somewhere, come in for the first session. I think it's very like, oh, you have like half of your head shaved and you have mismatched earrings and you're wearing like mint colored glittery sneakers. It's sort of like, whoa, like... that is dissonant. And also like it almost causes like, I think sometimes a little bit of a pause, like, are you like, who are like, who are you? Are you this person I saw on the website who's like very structured and organized and polished? Or are you this sort of like alternative, I lovingly refer to myself sometimes as a trash gremlin, which is not to say that I'm never like, I dress for work, but you know, I might have like with my business slacks almost always like skate shoes. So like, it's a little bit of that dissonance. And I think it just sort of plays out. And, you know, with like, I'm always bringing, you know, my professional experience to the room, but like, I think the reason most of my clients that have stayed for a really long time stay because it, all of that stuff is always supported by the real world practicality of mm-hmm. what it is that I do.
Right. So in a photo might not capture that.
No. Also, when I took that photo, I was out here visiting my now husband. And so like I had to take a professional headshot with like whatever happened to be in my suitcase. So it was a very critical moment to take a very important photo that I was just practically speaking, not prepared for at all.
And now it represents you. Yes. Professionally.
It's everywhere all the time. If I ever get a targeted ad for our agency and my face is staring back at me, it's so like, oh, that's just not what I look like.
Nice. And so now we're going to ask the question of, which you sort of have already answered, Trash Gremlin, like who is the real Andy?
Yeah. So the real Andy is, you know, one of the things that I do that I don't know a whole lot of other people doing, I do a lot of horticultural therapy. And that in my mind is like the sweet spot between the two things, because both in the office and out of the office, I can't really hide the fact as much, even if I wanted to, I can't hide the fact that I, you know, I'm a little bit of an alternative human just because like my parents were old metalheads. I grew up like listening to Black Sabbath and Green Day, and I can't remove that part of myself, and I just don't really care to. But you know, I'm also and I just really like a good fashion edit, practically speaking. Like I love my clothes, I love my shoes, but you know, I'm also like, as much as I'm working with folks, I'm somebody who, you know, has recovered and is in recovery from disordered eating. I have, you know, am in recovery from PTSD. A year ago, I was diagnosed with PMDD. And so I have really, practically speaking, had to deal with my own mental health. And so sitting in the therapist chair, I'm always thinking about like, what is my client's experience from the couch? And I don't have a vested interest in being the buttoned up professional in the room, because when I was really hurting, that's not what I wanted or needed, was for somebody to tell me like, oh, well, here's my professional wisdom and this is how it is. I wanted somebody to like sit with me in the mess and tell me that it's okay. And like, really, I'm a regular human. Life is messy. I am kind of messy. And, you know, the plants that I love so much are also messy. And so, you know, that's the real element of it, is like, that is who I am. And I'm always being mindful of like, my clients are here for them. They're not here for me, but I'm not particularly trying to hide who I am either.
I think this is a real movement in a lot of circles, a lot of kind of professional fields, is to really be more authentic in your workspace, which it sounds like you're really embracing and that it's working.
Yeah. I think a lot of my clients, that tends to be the feedback I get, right? Is like, and I always tell them, like, I'm not sharing this to like talk about myself, but more to let you know that you're not alone. And then it is hard to figure this stuff out, you know, like even being a professional and like having a new diagnosis within the last year of something that I've been dealing with my entire life and just had no clue, no idea that that was a problem. I think my clients, I've gotten a lot of feedback just around like, you know, oh my gosh, like, thank goodness it's not just me. like, no, of course it's not just you. It's all of us, right? Like, we're all dealing with something, and I may not be dealing with the thing, but you know, I'm also not sitting in front of you having no idea what it is like to struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we rewind a little bit? I guess Nobody rewinds anymore, but can we go back a few tracks to what is horticulture therapy?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Yes. I'm glad you asked, because sometimes I forget that, because it's so much of my life now that I forget that, like, just not everybody is like akin to this thing. Horticultural therapy, which I lovingly refer to as plant therapy, is the practice of marrying gardening and planting and working with live plants and seeds and things of that nature in a therapeutic way. So when I'm doing horticultural therapy, like in a workshop or in a group, everybody gets a house plant, or sometimes we do, like I'll do a nutrition class where everybody's making like a salad container garden. So you'll get like your herbs and your everything that you need to make a salad in one bowl. I do an orchid class where everybody gets an orchid, and we're using those plants to do the therapeutic work. So like we use the orchids to talk specifically about trauma. And we talk about how, like, even under the best circumstances, 10% of orchids are going to die in transit anyways. Like, orchids
are the 10% that I get always.
Like, some of them, it doesn't matter how good you do, like 10% of them are just going to die. And so, you know, they are, like, by the time we're receiving them, even if we have the best of intentions, they are traumatized just by virtue of the fact that they were shipped or that they lived in a big box store for how long, goodness knows how long.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like to attend to this plant and restore it from a traumatized place? What does it look like to do that for ourselves? Because the practices are the same, right? Like, although I may not be like, well, we should be watering ourselves. Like, we need to stay hydrated, but like, what's life giving to you? What's life giving to your plan? So we work through those metaphors. When I'm doing that on an individual level, we're kind of finding like, what is your plant and why are you similar to this plant? And like, how can you utilize gardening or house plants or things to like really enrich yourself? And so on an individual level, that can look really different. Like, I've gone walking in the woods with people and we've like connected to a tree and it's been kind of a spiritual thing. I've picked out a plant and brought it to people and just like, I'm giving you this and now it's your job to take care of it. We've done metaphorical work. We've done like ecological work of like, hey, let's think about the like the summer, spring, fall, winter, like what's happening in the meteorological seasons. And let's think about your body and how your body exists in those seasons. So, I mean, it really can like have super far reaching. I mean, the metaphors are kind of endless, which is why I love it, because if I run out of things to talk about with a client, I can just continue to invent gardening metaphors ad nauseum.
Right. Wow. That sounds incredible. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for letting me talk about it.
Fantastic. So I guess like our final question is really about self-care and like, how do you practice self-care and what do you, what is your wisdom around self-care? What do you share with people that you're working with or in your world?
It's always such a tough question, right? Because I'm sure you run into this where like it's self-care is so Instagrammable, and yes, the Instagrammable stuff is often not what is actually restorative.
Exactly.
When I'm talking with my clients, self-care is like what grounds and restores you. Cause what I like to say is that, you know, we always talk about how you can't pour from an empty cup, but no one tells you where to get the water. Self-care is the water by which you fill up your cup. Right. And so that could be, it's so hard because it could be so many things. That could, self-care can be setting boundaries. It can be connecting with people. It can be laying on the floor and doing nothing. It can be like forcing yourself to get up and take a walk, even though maybe you don't really want to. Like, and of course we're not talking about like, you know, my foot's broken and I'm going to go on a walk, but like, you know, we get stuck in those things like, I haven't been outside today. And it's so much easier to just continue sitting on the couch and watching Netflix. I've found, and I usually talk to my clients about self-care, like you need a bunch of different stuff, right? Like you can't just have movement as your only form of self-care. You can't just have connection as your only form of self-care, because it's sort of like having one tool in your toolbox. The hammer's great, but also like trying to, you know, put a table together with just a hammer isn't super effective. So
you're really good at these metaphors.
I should also, when I'm not doing like the horticultural therapy, I started out as an English teacher before I ever became a therapist. And so like narrative therapy and metaphor is probably 90% of my practice. And it's, I'm sure like every once in a while I'll get like a strange look from a client where I know something I've said is just like half baked. I'm like, it's kind of like how bees are bees. And they're just like, I don't know what you're saying. But I think self-care, for me, self-care has looked like being mindful of what I need in different seasons, and then also making sure like there are some pieces that don't move. So like I have to have some movement every week. And I love yoga, and I also love cardio. So like have to have a little bit of both. And as long as I'm doing something, I've checked that box. Like it doesn't have to be hours and hours every week. Those are my things that like don't really change. Seasonally, the thing shift, or like the way in which I connect with people. Right now I'm in a season where I'm feeling like I need a lot of social contact, and I need to connect with a lot of my friends. 3 months ago, I was like, please no one talk to me. I just really need to like have some alone time. And then, you know, like having my hobbies, having my crafts, and like having things that it's not always the same, because as much as I love plants, that has become a little bit of a project and a bear, because we have close to 100 plants inside and like several hundred square feet of gardens outside. So that's a full-time job more than it is self-care at this point. But having things like projects so I can like flex my creative muscle and stuff that I can like come and go from, that there's no deadline, there's no pressure, makes it a lot easier to stay engaged with those kinds of things. So I'm doing like embroidery or whatever, you know, if I don't ever pick it up again, there's no threat.
Right.
But yeah, it helps.
You don't have like to turn it into anyone.
Right. And I'm not trying to like commodify it. I'm not trying to start an Etsy page. And I so admire people who do that, but that's like, it's just, and I can be good. I can be mediocre at it. I can be really successful at it. It just doesn't matter. But it helps kind of flex that creative muscle.
That's a really good point, that that self-care shouldn't be something that you're trying to be perfect at, or that it's really the process rather than the outcome or the product that we're focusing on.
Yeah. I think that's really the, like, if it's not, that's one of my questions always to clients, what purpose is it serving? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, because I don't think everything has to serve a purpose. If the purpose is like, it just brings me joy, that is enough. But if we're trying to quantify, qualify, and commodify everything that is that we do, I think we end up suffering because it's just exhausting.
Right.
Yes. To do all of that. Sometimes we have to do things just for the sake of doing them.
Agreed. Fantastic, Andy. Do you have any other final words that you'd like to share?
No, I think I this has been a hoot. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you. I learned a lot. And we'll share this, and you know, it's Self-Care Society podcast, and you can check us out on any platform that where you get your podcast. So hopefully you can share it with folks that you know, and hopefully our listeners learned a little bit or a lot about self-care and what is horticultural therapy, which is super interesting. I just really appreciate your time. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That concludes this week's episode. And remember, it's not selfish, it's self-care.